So I have to draw another picture. Yes, somebody asked, a sister asked about the verses in the New Testament where it is written that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And I'd just like to give two verses. First of all, it's 1 Peter chapter 2. You can briefly read it. 1 Peter 2:20. Peter tells us here, that Christ, that he was before the foundation of the world, but was revealed for your sake. Here Peter says, it was before God created all things. It was already. And in verse 19, that he's a precious, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter chapter 1, 19 and 20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Why was it so? Because it was all planned ahead of time. God had planned humanity. He wants to reveal his glory through us people, but he also realized what was going to happen, that the enemy would come and would cause man to fall. God had foreknown all of this. Instead of stopping everything, of course, God could have done it also. But God did not do that. But as a solution, he planned the Lamb, and he planned the redemption. And then we go on to Revelation 13, verse 8. And here in this verse, it says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, will worship the beast, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. When was he slain? He was slain before the foundation of the world. That means to say, before the world was made, God had already foreordained the Lamb. And when God created this world, or he laid the foundation of this world, he had already slain the Lamb. Isn't that wonderful? Who could have done this, and who could have planned all this? This shows how wonderful our God is and how great he is. So I hope that this would be a help for you. Now, once again, we come back to the four living creatures. Amen. Unfortunately, I forgot to mention, or rather forgot to emphasize, that these are living creatures. Living. Amen. It means something. Do you think that God can be expressed by the dead ones? Psalm 116 says that the dead will not praise the Lord. Have you ever heard that a dead person praise the Lord? But we, the psalmist says, but we will praise the Lord from henceforth, from now on, until eternity, so the dead cannot praise the Lord. How can the dead ones express the glory of the Lord? In the house of the Lord, are we dead or are we living? Yes, we have to be living. We must be full of the life of God. Christ is our life and He fills us. It is the Spirit who gives life. Praise the Lord. In the church, we have learned to turn to the Spirit. We have experienced this wonderful life, and day by day, this life is growing in us. Look at so many saints here. When you see them, you will notice that they're all living, right? Look at Timo. You touch the life. Praise the Lord. But perhaps if you were to go somewhere else, they would be sitting there with a long face. Nobody laughs. And you're not allowed to say anything. It's quiet. The quietest place that I know, you know what place that is. In the house of the Lord, everything is living. Praise the Lord. Do you not notice that with the singing, are you not living? Right? In the sharing and even in the reading of the scripture, you should be like the living creatures. Hallelujah. The church is living, brother. And here in the church, in the house of the Lord, we enjoy this life so much. Life is very, very important. Oh Lord, the Lord said, I am come to give them the teachings. Or is it not so? To give them a sermon? I came to give them what? Life. And life abundantly. And what do we give in the Sunday morning meeting? I came to give you a message. And a long message. At the end of the message, everybody falls asleep. It's without life. That's without life. No, the Lord wants to make us alive. In the house of the Lord, it's not the teaching and the doctrines that are important, but it's the life that is important. Praise the Lord. If in the church we only pass on teachings and knowledge, that is not good. Paul says, the letter what? What does the letter do? The letter kills. The letter kills. But the Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life. So in the house of the Lord, we're here for life. It doesn't mean that we have life, life, life. Even the word in the church. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He who hears my word, says the Lord, although he were dead, yet shall he live. If the word is spirit and life, all those who hear it will become living. Right, Shirley? If you hear the word of life, you will be awake. So in the house of the Lord, we all must be living beings. Praise the Lord. Each one of us. Praise the Lord. We should be living beings. The more living, the better. Don't think that people would not notice whether we have life or whether we're dead. We need life. And life in its fullness. That's wonderful. The four living creatures. Amen. So where were we this morning? We're talking about the four faces, not four heads. That's not good. We may have four faces, but we may not have four heads. Only the dragon that had ten heads. It's seven heads and ten horns. But here, the four living creatures, each one of them had four faces. I hope that we'll see this. You should not forget this picture. I believe we don't have to speak so much more about these four faces because you've all seen it. Or is it clear? If he says yes, then we all should be clear already. Amen. But it is important for us to see that God wants to have these four living creatures in order to show us that none of us in the church should go alone. Look, we are all members of one body. Can my thumb go anywhere by itself? Has it ever happened to you? That early in the morning when you wake up, your left hand left you. The left hand was gone. That would be terrible. And your left foot is also gone. And in the end, when you get up, your two legs are gone. Is that possible? This never happened to you, right? No. We're all members of the body. If the feet go, the whole body goes with it, right? Can your head say, oh, you go, I'll stay here? That's certainly not possible. We're all members of one body. The church is a body of Christ. And the body goes where the head says, not what the foot says. It's always the case, right? When you go, if we ask you, where are you going? And you say, oh, my foot is saying that I should go to the meeting. No. It's the head. These four living creatures, they went where the Spirit wanted to go. How important is the Spirit is for us in here in the church? If all the saints in the church have learned to be in Spirit and to walk according to the Spirit, then everything would happen harmoniously. Our oneness is not a teaching. Oh, yes, we have to be one. If we have to say the word, we must be one, then it's not a good news. That means that we're not one at all. Brothers, we must be one. Have you ever admonished the members of your body? Is it, members, we all have to be one. Do not go off by yourself. No. Never. The oneness happens through this oneness. I believe if we have seen this vision, something would change in us. He who sees this vision can no longer just go off by yourself and do what you please. You just cannot do that. It will be very difficult. As soon as these wings stretches forth, they would touch the wings of the others. That means to say, although the movement is a heavenly movement, the wings show that it's a heavenly movement. The wheels show that that's a movement on this earth, because although the wheels are so great, they are on the earth. But when the wings are stretched out, that's a heavenly movement. Today, here in the church, in the God's work, it's a heavenly work, but it has to happen here on earth. Do not say, oh, it's heavenly. Everything is heavenly, heavenly, and you don't see it on this earth. Then you will just have the wings and you don't have any wheels. I flew over here from the U.S., but after I landed, I came to Stuttgart in a car, so I need the wings and I also need the wheels. Isn't that wonderful? What do you have in the church? Do we just have the wings and we're just flying all over in the air and you're not here on earth? Some people love to be floating around and flying in the air. Oh, so spiritual. They're floating around in the clouds. But you do not see them being practical on this earth. Father, your will be done in heaven. You should pray, our Father in heaven, your will be done in heaven. Is that how we should pray? It has to be on this earth as it is in heaven. If it just happened in heaven and nothing happened on this earth, what good does it do to God? But we Christians keep thinking, oh, we want to go to heaven, we want to go to heaven. Nobody wants to stay on this earth. Fortunately, you do not have any wings. Otherwise, nobody would be left here today. Well, all Christians want to go to heaven. If they all had wings, there would be no Christians left on this earth because they all want to go to heaven. Right? Gert, do we all want to go to heaven? Then there will be no one left here in the church. On earth, as it is in heaven. And that's why, brothers and sisters, this wonderful vision shows us that God does not just want the glory in heaven. Of course it is glorious in heaven because God dwells there. But that's not the problem. The problem is here on earth. And that's why you see not just the four living creatures, but with each living creature, there is a wheel. A big wheel. An awesome wheel. If the people see it, it looks awesome. It really causes awe. When the Lord moves on this earth, then something is really happening. We have to see this wheel and these wheels. But first of all, we must see how do these four living creatures move? The picture is gone, but I will just get a few brothers, claimants. You can help me. Here's a living being. Here's a second living being. Come, brother. Here's a third one. And could you please help me? These are the four living beings. Let's say they have wings. Here are the wings. He is facing south. And he is facing north. Who wants to be the east? You go to the east. And you go in this direction. Fortunately, they all have the face of a man. It's very scriptural. towards the front, there is the face of a man. Isn't that wonderful? Otherwise, we only see lions. And that won't be good. And further, when the wings stretch out, don't hang on. They just touch each other. Don't hold on. They're not holding on. They're just touching. That means to say, God does not force you to be one. You don't have to hang on and then to bind one to another so that they will not, that one will not go off on his own. But if God still had to do that, that is not the oneness that the Lord wants. But we people, so that he won't run away, I'm going to tie him, I'll take my belt out and I'll bind him tightly. Is that a good testimony? If we still have to tie him, is that a good testimony? That means that God is forcing them to be one. Who forced you to be one in the church? Who? You're one in the church voluntarily, right? You're free to leave anytime. You're free. You're free to go. You know, it is also written, if they do not move, if they are not moving, then all the wings would come down. But as soon as they move, then they touch each other. The wings touch each other. And wherever the Spirit goes, if the Spirit goes in this direction, some would be going sideways, like a crab. In the church, are you willing to go sideways? Are you truly willing to do so? And is he willing to go backwards? Are you willing? Are you or are you not willing? But if each one would want to have his own opinion, and he thinks that he wants to go north, and the other one says, no, I want to go south, where then is the glory? Where then is the glory? In the end, there will be no longer be four living creatures. Only two left. What? Or there are only three left, and this one left. The other one has to turn, and it will not be good if he turns, because it is written, they do not turn. When they move, they do not turn. And then we have three left, and there's a hole left here. One wheel is missing. You know, if your car has a flat tire, would you still be driving your car? Can that run? Or a tire just rolled off, and then you'd be driving your car with three tires? Would it be good to drive with? Have you ever seen someone or Mercedes-Benz with three tires? Three wheels, especially the front wheel. Would it look nice with three left? You understand. Thank you. Thank you, brothers. A picture speaks better than a thousands of messages. I believe we have all seen the vision. Now we can go home. We don't need to speak about it anymore. The Lord does not force us to be one. We have experienced this forcing. One said, oh, we all must be one. Now, whatever I speak, you also have to speak exactly like the way I said it. Is this the kind of oneness? No. No, no. Today in the church, if we still have to force, to use force, then that's not the true oneness of the Lord. I would not like to force anyone in the church. Whoever sees it, just sees it. If one does not see it, he just doesn't see it, period. So these wings, they touch one another. It's so good. It's so wonderful that the wings would be touching the wings of the other creatures. So what would the... So they have four wings. So what are the other two wings doing? The two other wings are covering their bodies. Isn't that wonderful? That means to say, they do not want to express their self. We, as believers, we have put on Christ. If you do not put on Christ, then you live yourself. Your flesh would be exposed. Do you think you can come to God just as you are? Christ is our covering. So these two wings, they cover our bodies. Wherever we go and whatever we do, do not show yourself. The self has to be covered, especially your flesh. And that's why we also see that when the priests are serving in the holy place, and when the high priest enters into the holy of the holies, they have to be fully covered. That means your flesh cannot show. That means if in the house of the Lord it's glorious, then you cannot see any flesh. Is it good that we're fighting and being in the flesh in the church? Oh, you shouldn't do this in the church. And the other one would say, why not? I believe I have the liberty. If that's the case, do you think that that is glorious? Just like the church in Corinth, they fought with one another. Oh, Lord. There are so many problems. Do you think that the church in Corinth was glorious? Some may say yes, but when God looks at them, He views them as glorious. Don't come to me with a teaching only. It says, oh, when God looks upon them as glorious. No, no, no. If it is glorious, God would say that it is glorious. So these two wings are not for the movement, but for the covering. It is good to be covered. Because oftentimes when we do something in the church, we do not do it through Christ, but we do it through our own ability. Do it in our own way and do it according to what we think is right, or what is right in our own eyes. If we do this, things like this, and serve the Lord like this in the church, they are fully exposed. And everybody has to do according to your opinion. In the end, the house of the Lord would be a big mess. No, there's a wonderful covering there with the two wings. That means to say, if there's a heavenly covering, that which covers you is something heavenly. What is your covering in the church? And who is your covering? Christ. Christ is your covering. You do remember Adam and Eve when they fell. What did they cover themselves with? With what? With leaves. How long would a leaf hold? How long would it hold? Perhaps a couple of days? Until it withers. How long? I believe it's very quickly. Okay, you may take a fresh and thick leaf from the tree. 1 week? 2 weeks? Okay, 1 month. Then what? At the end of the month, you're fully exposed. People would notice your flesh. It doesn't work that way. So what did God do? God made a clothing out of the skin of an animal. This skin, it shows the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our covering. All those who are baptized into Christ, they have what? They have put on Christ. Daily in your life, in your church life, and in your service, what do you put on? I am not sure that the saints have learned, that many, especially the young people, have learned to put on Christ as they serve. Lord, I want to put you on. Cover me. I do not want to serve in the flesh. If we do not do that, and if we do not have a covering, there will be so much exposure of the flesh, and that is not good. That means to say that you have no feeling of shame. In this world today, everywhere you go, what do you see? You see the flesh. And the people think, why not? And here in the house of the Lord, that's not the case. And it should not be like that. We need these wings to cover us. Isn't that wonderful that the wings are not just for the flying, but they're also wings to cover us? How many wings do we have? Four. Praise the Lord. So here we see the covering is so important. Here in the house of the Lord, for the glory of God, if we have not yet learned to cover ourselves and our flesh, O Lord, it is truly a shame if the flesh is exposed. But sometimes, and even very often, if we're fleshly, we have no feeling that it is truly a shame. What did Philip say? Paul say in Philippians that I will not be ashamed, that I will not be put to shame. For Paul, if he lived his own life, he lived a self, then it, for him it was a shame. And for us, when we live ourselves, we think, oh, it's not so bad. But that's not the case according to the book of Philippians. But so in any case, brothers and sisters, for the glory of the Lord, we have to cover ourselves. Otherwise, you'll be glorifying yourself rather than glorifying God. And then you would think that, oh, everything that was done, oh, I did that. Where would the churches be without me. And at the end, you will think that it's your work. Look at my work. And at the end, pride comes in, just like David. At the very end, he forgot that it was God who did everything. And he thought, oh, all this is what I have done. Then death came, and the punishment came. Then the angel of death came with a sword. We all must see this. Do not think that it's not dangerous to do something without the covering. No, we should not do that. Otherwise, in the end, you would destroy the work of the Lord and there will be no glory left. So we all have to appreciate these two other wings. Lord, cover me. Not only cover me with the blood cleanses it, but these wings would cover you. You have to tell the Lord, Lord, you are my covering. Isn't it good to have this? We all have to experience this. Otherwise, in the end, you might even think that the church is your church. That's even worse. The church belongs to the Lord. Okay, now we come back to our outline here. Amen. The feet, praise the Lord, their feet. Their feet were straight. Their appearance was the likeness of a man. But their feet were not like men's feet. Men's feet are not straight. I have never seen men's feet that are straight. Men's feet are all like an L shape, crooked. Right? There's always a bending there. There's an angle there. That means people, when our walk is not straight, but somehow it's just crooked. Do not think that we're all straight. Perhaps you think that the Germans are very straight. I just need to look at your feet and I would know. We all have the same feet. Right? Somehow, somewhere, it'll be crooked. Also, in our own, our human righteousness, we are also crooked. It's not quite righteous. But here, the four living creatures, their feet were straight. Like what? Like calves, the sole of a calf's foot. Did you read the verses there? What does Leviticus say? It's from the clean animals that we're allowed to eat. What's clean and what's unclean? God made the distinction so clearly. The clean animals, their souls were split, the split hooves. That means in their walk, they can differentiate which is right and which is not right, what is from of the Lord and what is not of the Lord. They make a very clear differentiation, and they have to be chewing the cud. And these two characteristics, it shows that this animal is clean and you can eat it. And these are the feet of a clean animal. They do not go just anywhere, but you just go anywhere sometimes, and your feet are itching to go somewhere where you should not go. Isn't that the case? In the house of the Lord, there are many, and in the church, there are many places that we should not be going to. But you would think, well, why not? It's fun. It's fun for the people in the world. But for us, it's no fun. It would cause you to be dirty. So, in the house of the Lord, for the building, do not think we have the liberty to go anywhere. I can do this, I can do that. Why not? Why not? You know, all the young people, all your co-workers are going everywhere. Why shouldn't we be going? If you go there, then your feet would not be straight. Then you would not have a feet with the sole of a calf's foot. They were not only straight, but they also sparkle like the color of burnished brass. That means to say they were not only clean, but everywhere, wherever they went, they judged everything. Whatever is not right. You do not just go there, but you also judge that. You know that that's not right. So sometimes, you say, oh, I know I should not go there, so you do not go there. But your heart, oh, too bad. I missed something. That's too bad. You do not go there, but you do not judge that. You even think, oh, that's too bad that I'm not allowed to go there. Perhaps nobody sees it. I'll just go there once. Should be okay. Worry? And then a brother would be sitting there and asking you, oh, where are you going? You know what I mean. It's not enough just to know that that is not right, that's wrong, I should not be there, I should not go there. I'm not allowed to do that. That is not sufficient. But you also need to judge that. Otherwise, your heart would be drawn over there. You may have a split hoof, but it's not of brass, but you do not have this burnished brass. That's not good either. That's not enough. It's good, but not good enough. We see here that the four living creatures, they had feet that were straight, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. They sparkled like the color of burnished brass. All our young people should learn, Lord, I want to have such feet. Amen. Amen. Good. Praise the Lord. If you all have such feet, how glorious the church would be. You have to see that. People cannot teach you that. If you don't see it, you just don't see it. What can we say? We do not like to forbid people in the church. But you shouldn't say, oh yes, we don't have any laws in the church. So you see, I'm allowed to go. No, no, no. If you are fleshly, then the law applies to you. That's what Paul said. There are such things The fruit of the Spirit? Yes. We do not have, there is any law. The law is just for the lawless people. So if you are lawless in the church, then there are laws for you. But no, the Lord does not force anyone. But the law is always written here in this book. No one forces you. But do not say that there is no law. The law is in this book, unless you do not have a Bible. Or you do not read it. But if you read the Bible, there's many things that you should not do. The Word of God is a law. But God wants this law to be written in your hearts. Praise the Lord. I don't want to speak much about this anymore. The feet were straight, praise the Lord, and praise the Lord for the sole of the feet, of the, like the sole of a calf's foot. And it says that they had hands of a man. They didn't have monkey's hands. The hands of a monkey cannot do much. They can only eat bananas. Nothing more than that. I have never seen a monkey that played the piano. Perhaps in the circus they could ride a bicycle or something, but that's all they can do. Of all the creation of God, man's hands are the most skillful. The hands of man can do so much. It's amazing what the hands of man can do. But in spite of this, you still have to learn. Of course, the man's hands can also steal and kill and do other nonsensical things. We shouldn't do that. But on the positive side, man's hands reveal the skillfulness, the ability to do something. God has much to do. Practically, when Solomon built the temple, he needed many people that were talented to carve gold, the wood, and goldsmiths, and artists, and people with different types of wisdom, and all types of ability. They all came to build the temple of the God. We need many brothers and sisters with all kinds of abilities in order to build the house of the Lord. But these abilities have to be led by the Lord. Otherwise, they're useless. You have to tell the Lord, Lord, I want to give you all that I have. Use it according to your will. We need your wisdom and we need your leading. We need to learn to do spiritual things. There's much to do in the house of the Lord. We need heavenly wisdom, spiritual skillfulness to do much, to serve. The children's meetings. Oh, we need much wisdom. Our children in the church are so precious. And the hands in the Bible also show, although we have not written here, to be diligent. Paul said that he worked with his own hands day and night. Isn't that wonderful? Then he also said that He who does not work, neither should he eat. Isn't that good? That means to say we all have to work, not just with the feet, but also with the hands. To be diligent in the house of the Lord, there's so much to do. We have to be diligent. Diligent to serve, to build. There are many things that we have to learn. Don't say, I can't do it. You cannot do it because you didn't learn it. Can you play the piano? Don't you have hands? Yes. Yes, you have hands. But the fact that you have hands does not mean that you can play the piano. You have to learn. And learn diligently. Not just once a month. Then you will never learn how to play the piano. There are many things that we need to learn in the church. Spiritual things have to be learned. You have to be diligent to learn. And even have the desire, the longing to learn. Lord, I want to learn to do spiritual things in the church. I want to learn to preach the gospel. And I also want to learn to do even better. I want to learn to gain people, to capture people, to be fishers of men. Yes, we have to learn that. Right? There are many things in the church that we need to learn. So, under their wings, they have the hands of a man. That's wonderful. They didn't have the feet of a man, but they have the hands of a man. It's good to have that. And then we also have already seen that each had four faces. It's very good. Praise the Lord. We already spoke about that. Each had four wings. Praise the Lord. We also seen that. And then their movement. It's good for us to see this. They did not turn as they move. Isn't that wonderful? You do not need to turn. If we all follow the Lord and we follow the Spirit, when these four living creatures move, you have the full assurance that this direction is the direction of the Spirit, because we all have the feeling and the confirmation of the Spirit that we should be going in this direction. He who has the Spirit would also have the confirmation within him. It's not possible that the Spirit would say to this living creature, go to the south, and to the other would say, no, you go to north. Do you think that the Spirit would do that? Not with these four living creatures. That's not possible. That means to say, if these four living creatures would go in one direction, the other three do not need to turn around at all. Not to turn means to say that they are clear. This is the direction of the Lord. If I need to go sideways, I just go sideways. I don't need to turn around to see whether he's right or not. Is he driving correctly or is he sleeping? You don't need to worry. If the brother, the living creature, would go in this direction, you don't need to have to turn your head to look. Oh, is he doing the right thing? In the end, you will have problems, and we will have problems. But praise the Lord. In our movement, in the house of the Lord, in all the churches, do not do something that would cause give the church a question mark. Oh, what is the church doing? If all the churches have the feeling that something is strange there, do not think that you alone are right and the other three are all wrong. The testimony in each church should be so clear that there's no doubt. It's unfortunate that the seven churches in Asia, that Thyatira was like this, and Pergamos was like that, and Laodicea was like that. In the end, we do not know. Should we be going there? Is that the right direction? Should we visit Thyatira? Then you have no peace to go there, no rest to go there, because Jezebel is there. Because she's cooking her own soup, so to speak. If you go to Thyatira, then you have to drink of her soup. That's not good. It's poisonous. Every church has to be so clear in our testimony. Do not be special. Do not be something special. You want to be something special. Why must your church be something special? The four living creatures, is each one of them something special? No. They all look the same. Do not think, oh, our church is better. And we do something special that Stuttgart is not doing. Then you go alone in a certain direction. Do you want to be like that? Is that glory? Paul said, if one member suffers, the whole body suffers. Then we also have to say, if one church suffers, we all suffer with them. Do not say, you see, the church over there. No, it's painful for us to see that. The church in Thyatira is like that. The Lord suffered. The Lord did not say, now, I want to throw you out. No, the Lord suffered. The Lord was still trying to warn them. Repent, turn. But you won't listen. You think you're glorious. We're something special. We're different. We're special here in this locality. We're in Stuttgart. We're very special. If you were to say that, then you're really a special church. That's not good. Then you would not see any glory. The seven churches in Asia were seven different kinds of churches. Was that glorious when you read the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3? Do you see the glory there? No. That is not glory. But here with the four living creatures, they could go in every direction without any problems. Just as the Spirit led. Without a Vatican, without a Pope, just like the brother said, we would see later on, above these four living creatures is the expanse, the firmament, and right above that is the throne. Who is driving this car? You? It's the Lord who's sitting on the throne. If we do not pay attention to the others, we do not care for the others, in the end, the church would suffer. The church where you're at would suffer. The church in Thyatira would suffer much in the end. And with the church in Laodicea, the Lord would spit it out. And with the church in Ephesus, the lampstand would be removed. It's so terrible. And the Lord would still fight with the church in Thyatira. Do you want to fight with the Lord? Is that good? And Sardis is dead. Do not think that a church cannot be dead. Yes, it could be dead. But the Lord said to the church in Sardis, you have a name that you live, but you're dead. But we see in these four living creatures such a harmony in their movement. They did not turn as they moved. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a wonderful harmony? When we here in Stuttgart would keep thinking, oh, what are those people in Fountain Valley doing? And the church in Fountain Valley would be thinking, oh, what are they doing in Hamburg? And Hamburg would say, oh, what are they doing in Berlin? Then we have much to do. Then there would be no glory at all. And in the end, they're even competing against one another. The churches would be competing with one another. They're in a competition. We are like this and they are like that. Oh, they are like this. They're so strange. That's not good. When many churches would be saying, oh, over there, that's strange. Then we need to repent. Do not say, why? Why are we strange? Then you'll be angry. No, do not be angry. But you have to go before the Lord. Lord, enlighten me. Shine. I want to repent and turn. Oh, Lord. They did not turn as they moved. That's so wonderful. They went, everyone straight forward. No matter which direction it was always a straightforward. The direction was also straightforward. And it's also not necessarily. And it also was not necessary because every four of the living creatures, in every direction there was a face of a man. It's so wonderful. You can read it for yourself. It's already 9 o'clock. Tomorrow. We'll continue. We can read number 6, the likeness as a whole. The burning coals of fire. How hot is the church where you're at? In Aalen. In Berlin. Is it burning in Berlin? What's the temperature? 2 degrees, that's too cold. Even 18 degrees is still lukewarm. When the four living creatures are together, in the appearance as a whole, they're like burning coals of fire. Do we have this in Stuttgart? In Reutlingen. What is burning there? Coals of fire? Is it burning in Neuchâtel? More and more, hallelujah. You have to put more coal, heap coals on, and there'll be more burning. And the temperature would go up, but there should be no strange fire. You have to tell the Lord, Lord, light the fire here. It's a holy fire. It's a holy fire. It's not because of man's pressure. Come on, each one of us has to be full-time. Every 20-year-old must serve full-time for 2 years. And everyone here must support them. And each one must give 10%, etc., etc. In the end, we have a strange fire. A big organization, we need money. Then we just pump money from the pockets of the saints. We pump money. Praise the Lord. We never talked about money in Stuttgart, or? Huh? Didn't hear what he said. It says, fortunately, I was not present. Oh, the concerning the hall, yes. We talked about money, but we do not pump money from the saints. We have fellowship. What he means, what the brother means, is that we had fellowship as to how we should spend the money. But it's not that we declare, oh, we don't have any money, brothers and sisters. Each one should be donating. And if you don't have the money right now, you just have to write a promissory note. Because, oh, I'm going to give 100 euros. That's nonsense. That is nonsense. That is man's work. We do not need any of that. We must be burning like torches shining brightly, holy and pure. And this fire comes from the seven spirits of God. How are the seven spirits before the throne of God? They are like the seven torches of fire burning brightly, sent into all the earth. When we're filled with the Spirit, then we'll be burning. We cannot say that, oh, we're full of the Spirit, then we're icy cold or lukewarm. That cannot be true. What happens to your car's motor or engine when it's moving? It'll get hot. And if it's not moving, when it's just standing still, it'll get cold. That's right. So when the church is cold, that means it's not moving. It's not running. Oh, Lord Jesus. And then it's also written there, and the living creatures ran back and forth like the flashing of the lightning. My goodness. What kind of an appearance? And the living creatures were taking a stroll slowly back and forth. Is that what is written? What is written? The living creatures ran back and forth like the flash of the lightning. They're running zigzag. Now the Germans would say zack zack. Zip zip. What happened to this tuck tuck in the churches? Or have we gotten old and we cannot move that fast? We'll be going tuck tuck, not. Don't be upset with me. Unfortunately, partially it has happened like this. It does not look like the four living creatures. Such a picture says a lot. We, as His church today, must have this as our standard. We have to set this as our standard. The Lord still has so much to do, and we do not have much time left. How much time do we have left in order to accomplish His work? We're going so slowly. We're still driving a horse carriage. Praise the Lord. Tomorrow, we'll see the wheels. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord be with your spirit. You have much to consider this evening. Much to think about. Amen. Let's sing a song. Do you have a hymn that goes zippity-doo? 370. 370. Hallelujah. So that all can see. Number 370.